Wolves this weekend. You're flying over. What are you leaving tomorrow?
I got a 10:25 p.m. flight. I love that tradition where they like we're in the Trent. I'll jump in Lake Michigan in my Yates jersey if Yates scores.
We've got Chris Walsh watching all the way from Costa Rica. Huge shout out to him. We've got Nottingham Forest Indonesia, a forest band based in Jakarta. That's pretty cool. We've got Simon from NFFC Bahamas, who posted a picture of his wife Tasha in the full regalia and holding a forest all over mug. What an absolute champion. We've got greetings from Paraguay. I'm saving up so in 10 years I can go to the stadium and have a few points with the fans. Now that's Forest all over the world. A huge shout out to Nottingham Forest Supporters Group in Australia. I think it's Sydney Supporters Group. They're doing a convention down under and it's on Saturday, April 20th at 6 p.m. Huge shout out for the Nottingham Forest Supporters Convention down under. And then AFW14_1980, Bears in Berlin, a picture of their kids. Two lads in jerseys standing outside a stadium in Berlin. That's absolute class. And finally, a massive shout out to Adam Marchenko. Huge shout out to you, you Forest All Over legend. Let's get into it. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Forest All Over podcast. Before we bring in our wonderful guest, Ryan, all the way from Chicago, here's a message from Matt.
Yeah, I went to the Spurs game at the weekend on Sunday with some lovely friends. It was a real pleasure. I've wanted to go to that stadium for a long time. Despite the game being pretty drab, if I'm honest, I was really disappointed with Forest. But yeah, it was a great experience. Some old friends and some new friends. And listen, I'm not going to be here this week, Chris, again. I'm really sorry. I suppose it's neither here nor there for those listening. Hope you have a good episode without me. I am still in the middle of a busy month and I'm working all night again and I can't stop. Good luck, everyone, listening to the rest of this with Chris.
We will, of course, have a review corner at the end of the episode with some reactions from Matt, believe it or not. He sent some through on WhatsApp. But without further ado, let's get our amazing guest in all the way from Chicago. Here we go. Ryan, Barstool Chief. He's going over to the Wolves game this weekend. It's going to be an exciting time for him. Ryan, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm all tingly, getting excited for this flight tomorrow. Be my first trip to the City Ground, my first live Forest game since the Wembley playoff. So I'm very, very excited.
I was actually just going to ask you, what was the last game you went to? And it was the Wembley finals. You're good luck then. That's where this is. You're going to keep us up.
That's one way to look at it, and we need three. So it is one of those things where I'm so excited for the trip. And I always say it, you know, all of my Chicago teams are terrible, varying degrees of terrible. There's nothing better as a fan than that big game feeling, like you wake up with butterflies kind of and you're just getting excited for the game. So there, it's definitely like an element of like the novelty and the excitement of, you know, big trip going abroad. I'm going for 48 hours. I'm basically just coming to see this game and I'm going home. So and I wanted to do this last year. I couldn't make the scheduling work. So this was the time that worked. Just so happens that it's a massive, massive game. I wish it weren't. I wish they were sitting 12th and we were on the beach and no problems. But it is what it is. So I love it. I love the big game feeling and I can't wait to get in City Ground.
Yeah, it's going to be huge. And like I've said this a million times in this podcast, but there's been loads of huge games over the last sort of 2 or 3 years. But like this is definitely one of the top 5 or 10, you know what I mean? Like, it's definitely got that feeling of like Brighton or Southampton last year, or the playoff feel of the year before. Like, if we win this, because I think City are going to beat Luton this weekend, we're probably two games away from them, 3 points on the goal difference. So, and if we lose, then we're kind of the underdogs then to stay up. So it's like, yeah, it's a huge game to go to, man. How do you feel about like sort of breaking that ritual? Because your ritual's got to be what, the coffee ritual in the morning if you're 6 hours behind? Yeah, 7, 8 a.m. in the morning.
I am a morning guy in general, which is part of the reason why. Oh, yeah. I wake up with no issues at 5:15, no alarm, nothing. My brain just wakes me up. So that was like kind of once they started putting the Premier League on TV here, that's kind of what got me hooked. I always loved the game going back to like World Cup 94. I was 8 years old, the United States. And then but my first exposure to like professional European football is really when they started putting it on TV, and I loved it. And it was just like part of that, like I got live sports to watch at 6:30 in the morning or 9, or like have something before American football starts. It was beautiful. And then I found Forest, and it took my fandom to an entirely different level. So yeah, I'm probably still going to need some coffees because I got a red eye flight, you know, the night before. So I'm sure there'll be plenty of coffees, maybe a few other beverages that day, a few pints. And yeah, it's going to be weird to see them where I don't have the rest of the day in front of me. That is kind of a nice thing though, because normally when they lose, like the day's ruined, you know, or the week.
Yeah.
So now it's like, you know, at least I can just go to bed, get back on the flight tomorrow morning if it goes awry. But I have a good feeling about the game.
Yeah, no, do you know what's cool? I know you've been on this podcast 3 times, I think, and we've spoken about this every time. I lived in Canada for a bit, and what was cool was you'd start your day. It would probably, like for me, it would probably be ruined, but I was a fan of the Raptors and even the Leafs. So there was sports coming later on. So it was like, right, the day's not done. You know what I mean? If there was a 1-1 draw against Hull in the morning, I could still wait to watch the rest of the sports in the evening. So that's pretty cool.
Well, and that's like, I was kind of the opposite, where it was like, especially in that championship season or last season too, had some bright moments, especially in the run-in, where it was like, man, if Forrest doesn't get a win, I'm not getting one today, because I know the Bears aren't winning. I know the Blackhawks aren't winning. So it's like, if I don't get a win by lunch, it's going to be a long day.
Are the Bulls still struggling, or are they doing a bit better?
They are the most irrelevant team in the city. Nobody, nobody.
It's crazy.
Cares. Yeah.
It's crazy because of obviously Michael Jordan, Chicago Bulls, 90s, Pippen, all that. Obviously everyone knows the story. But it's just crazy that they're relevant now. So anyway, yeah, back to Forest. This game, you got a good feeling about the Wolves game. We just lost to Spurs 3-1. Like, did you get a chance to catch that game? What was your opinion of the last week in general? Like, Palace won all, beating Fulham, and then low down losing to Spurs and not really giving a good performance. It was a bit crazy, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it felt like if you were going to win on the road against Spurs, that might have been the day where you had, you know, the Chris Wood bang went off the post, and it's like, yeah, that guy hasn't missed in months, it felt like. And of all the chances, that's the one he misses. You know, I, as a hockey guy, I didn't mind the punch from Madison, but probably should have been disciplined for that. And maybe, you know, that could have changed the course of the game. So it did feel like, yeah, it wasn't their best effort. I like that they went with an attacking lineup again. And it just didn't go their way. And like, yeah, I'm locked in every game. I watched the entire Luton game. That was a punch in the gut. So it was really, because Bournemouth has been in great form too. And it just felt like that was a spot where you were hoping Bournemouth could do us a favor, and it just didn't work out. So I forget actually what your original question was.
No, it was just, you answered it really well, because you spoke a bit about Spurs, you spoke about Bournemouth beating Luton. It was about last week in general. It was a bit of a whirlwind because it was 3 games instead of 7 days. They were all pretty important games. Forest had just had the deduction before that week. So, no, yeah, you answered pretty well.
To get them all back in a week, to get all the points back in a week, hopefully they give us one more back, just.
Yeah, that'd be nice. It would be nice. And like, I mean, it seems like they're making it up as they go along, because they're giving everything some back, then they're taking only a couple away. It's just, it's kind of all over the place. It kills the
sport.
And
now they're talking luxury tax, right? When they might have to punish Man City and Chelsea, which I don't mind that idea. They do that in baseball here. And I think that financial structure is probably the most similar to the English football system. But they do a luxury tax, and it's spread across to the you know, the more poor teams. And if they do that, that's fine. I think that could have some competitive advantage. I would like them to spread it actually all the way across the pyramid. But that's fine. And then they should just go say, hey, if you're already thinking about changing the rule, maybe give Everton theirs back and maybe give Forest theirs back. Because that thing to me, it just feels so unfair that they're protecting these teams. And, you know, I don't like the idea that a governing body can tell Marinakis how to spend his own money. Yeah, he wanted to spend it on Lingard and Emmanuel Dennis, and I didn't like that either, okay? But, like, it's still his right. It's his money. Let him splash it around if he wants. And now you're telling him he can't. We're taking 4 points away. Just give all the points back and change the rule next year. It seems silly to me to change it after the year. Announce that you're looking at changing it after the year. And just go back and change. If you know that the system isn't working now, just wipe it already.
Yeah, do you know what? It's interesting to hear your perspective on it because you're so knee deep in American sports, right? So to hear you talk about the luxury tax and how it works and the salary caps and stuff over there that I kind of know about a bit, it is interesting to hear your perspective because it is ridiculous. And these structures were put in place to stop sort of like owners coming in and destroying clubs. But what it's doing is stopping ambitious owners, helping smaller clubs reach the top six. And that's now they're ring fenced and it's kind of done the opposite. And I think you're right. The problem is City are running away with it. They might win another treble this year and they'll get punished after the fact in a smaller way and probably be given loads of time. And I made a point there online. I wrote something up on the Farcel over Twitter, right? Matt sometimes uses it. I use it most of the time. I said, like, imagine the title race where there's three teams. Arsenal, City and Liverpool are all going for it. They're 1 point within each other. It's one of the closest title races in years. Imagine this season they decided, you know what, we'll punish Man City and it would affect, and then by appeals they'd give them some back and they that would never fucking happen. Do you know why? Because it's the top of the league and they can't mess with that and it kills the sport. Well, it kills the sport down with us as well. So that's why I think it's just ridiculous. Like, but we, you know what, we spoke about it so many times on the podcast that people probably sick
it's,
of it.
It's infuriating and I haven't gotten to talk about it with anybody. So like,
no, go ahead. And your perspective is interesting as well because you come from a different structure in the US, which probably works better, to be honest. I mean, you look at the draft with the NBA. If you're the worst team, then you get the best player. Do you know what I mean?
It's cool. And I feel like because soccer, football, whatever, is so big and so global that you could never really do what we do here because it's a closed system. Like, there is no relegation. There is no, you know, you're not competing against teams from Spain. It's just... you're just your own league, so it's easier to manage. And hockey's my favorite sport, so they just have a hard cap, and it's like they're setting it at $87.7 million for the team. You can't go above it no matter what. And there's also a salary floor where you have to spend, I think it's like $60 million or something like that, and that's it. And everybody has to play within that range, and it's just like that. And it makes it very competitive, and I think it is the most balanced league, which makes the league a lot of fun. But it's just, you can apply that, I don't think, to really any other sport. I don't think it would work in any other sport, and definitely not in any other country.
It's interesting, yeah. And I mean, I don't know what they're going to, who knows? It's just, we don't know what punishments they're going to dish out to the top teams and when they're going to do that. That's the problem. And we're already seeing it with us. And I even felt bad for Everton the other day when they lost another 2 points. But anyway, we march on. Wolves this weekend, you're flying over. What are you leaving tomorrow?
I got a 10:25 p.m. flight. So
this podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Land.
Okay, that's unbelievable. So you're flying overnight.
Yep.
And then you land ahead. And then are you straight out in the booze? I'm joking. Are you?
Get in a car, driving up. Nottingham. We got a full day planned. I think we're gonna see some sights. We're gonna, you know, have some pints and, you know, get a proper curry. So I'm trying to, you know, I'm Dan White is coming along.
Legend.
He's the fucking man. And so he's kind of mapped it all out. I want to do whatever the locals do, you know. So I'd love to see the Clough statue. I'd love to see that the Robin Hood statue and all kind of the other sites. But like, I really just kind of want to live. That's how I like to do it when I travel. I just kind of want to, like, cultural immersion, you know, in a way. Like, just do whatever local Nottingham people do, and that would be, you know, that's the goal. So I think we're gonna, you know, have a nice curry dinner somewhere, and then, which is my speed, and then have some pints, and we'll figure it out from there for the next day.
Yeah, it's cool because, like, obviously, following from abroad, I had this when I was younger, but when I first went over there, you see the newspapers are all about Forest, and a lot of everyone in the pubs were all talking about Forest in that area. So you'll have a nice little time to build up, talk about the starting lineup and the game and everything. And yeah, it's going to be a really, really cool build up, especially those statues. They're actually pretty cool as well. Like the Robin Hood thing is a cool thing. It's a folklore thing, not just about Forest. It's about the movies or whatever. You know what I mean? The folklore. Oh,
and when I was a little kid, and I think that this was perhaps influenced like my draw to Forest. Obviously, I've told the story where my brother got a job with the team when he finished university there, and that was really like my introduction. But there was so much, like, that was my favorite animated kids movie, was the Robin Hood movie. So it's like we have like the, you know, some cultural, you know, it's relevant here in the States, the city, in a way that Leeds or, you know, some of these other places just aren't, because like I grew up, you know, hearing the fables about Sherwood Forest and Nottingham and Robin Hood and you know, Maid Marian. Like I loved that movie. I liked the Kevin Costner one too.
I liked the Kevin Costner one.
Yeah, I liked the Men in Tights one as well. I thought they're all good. So that was, you know, that's always been part of the, you know, probably part of subconsciously part of the equation. And yeah, I've fallen in love with this club. It's the only club, although it's this year has been a little bit different, but I say it's the only team that I follow that brings me joy. And this year, yeah.
That's surprising. Jesus. Well,
but like I got in at the end of, the end of 21 with, you know, the Houghton. And that was when my brother was there. I'm like, all right, like, yeah, you know, no aspirations. And people are like, why are you choosing them? Like, you're never going to have any fun. I'm like, I'm used to that. Like, that's my normal. I'll fit right in. And then the next year when Cooper came in after what, 7 or 8 games, it's just been a rocket ship and nothing, nonstop fun and joy. And like last year, the Arsenal game to stay up was incredible. Oh. And then this year is like, I've had moments of, and maybe it's just like I'm maturing as a Forest fan, just moments of rage and disappointment where it's not like all sunshine and rainbows like it had been.
Yeah, I mean, but it's been bonkers on a mad season. I've said this before. It's been crazy. It has been a crazy season. You lose your, you know, I think both of us really loved Cooper, and you lose your sort of god, and then someone else comes in and he's your new guy, and you back him, and all these players and the deductions. And it's been a bit of a crazy season. And I thought last season was crazy. This season's been even crazier. You're feeling now like 6 games to go. We play Wolves. Well, Luton play Man City, then we have to play City while Luton have a couple of, you know, not so difficult games because they're playing mid-table clubs who aren't really playing for much. Like, what are your thoughts, like, going into the final run? Do you, like, because I'm trying to basically, where I tried to convince myself that I felt okay about this today. I was driving the car and I go, you know what, when I'm on the podcast later, I'm going to talk about how, you know, we're in the heat of the battle and that's what you want, these big games, but it's horrible sometimes. Like, it's just like, what, like, it's like, how are we down here, you know?
Yeah. And I, you know, all my American friends are fans of, you know, Spurs and Arsenal here in the office, a lot of Arsenal people in the office, or Chelsea. And it's just like, they're like, well, it's kind of like more fun, right? Wouldn't you rather be in 17th and having the games matter than be in 12th? And I did make that argument last year.
This year it's not.
No. Like, I'd rather be like, hey, we're building something. We made progress. We're not sweating out. I'm not trying to like, well, if you get 3 here and 1 against Everton and you get to somehow get to 10, you should be fine. Like, I hate having to do that math again.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like I do, like I've been staring at, and we have like a Forest Chicago chat on WhatsApp, and it's like we're kind of just talking about those last 6 games, and I think the consensus, we feel like there's 10 points there, and it's got to start with 3 this weekend.
It's gonna, yeah, there is 10 points there. It's just, I don't know, last season we were on such a rut around this time, and then Cooper, like, we forget what happened. He won the last 3 home games of the season against Brighton, who were brilliant last season. Southampton, okay, we should be beating them. And then Arsenal.
That Southampton, the 4-3, that was...
That destroyed me. I was like having heart attacks every 20 minutes. It was really bad.
And just when you thought you were safe, they'd cut into that lead again. It's like, you know, let's just get them over the line. Like,
that was unbearable. Actually, a lot of those games towards the end were like, you always thought we were just one step away from ruining it all, but we didn't. So I feel like we're coming into that now. So it's going to come down to like, can we do that again? Can we replicate that sort of feeling? Get the fans up for the City Ground like they were against Fulham.
They were great against Fulham.
Amazing. Yeah. I think the question is like we're playing City and Chelsea at home. Realistically, at best, we can probably only get 3 points from those two games. I'm not like being negative. It's just being realistic. It's Man City and it's Chelsea. And then Wolves is coming up this weekend that you're going to. But then it's down to our away form, which has been terrible since we've been in the Premier League. And against poor teams, Everton, Burnley and Sheffield United, the teams that we can beat, but it's like, are we going to turn that around?
Yeah, it's like, what happened to that? What happened in that Newcastle game? Like, where's the away form from that game? Where it was like, Nuno's new, it was attacking, Chris Wood was unbelievable in that game, and they just haven't quite ever been able to recapture it. And I'm wondering... it just feels like it shouldn't be that big of a difference, but it always has been for Forest. So yeah, I think, look, and you would hope that Burnley's dead and gone by then. And
Sheffield United, hopefully.
Maybe
as well.
Sheffield United too. So the calculations, the back of the napkin, back of the envelope calculations is 3 this week, 3 against Sheffield, 3 against Burnley, and then 1 against either Chelsea or Everton. And that's your 10. And that's, if saying it out loud, it feels like a daunting task. But it does feel like when I look at Luton play, like they're not better than us. Like they're not more talented. Like we have the better players. We just can't put it together. And it's infuriating.
Yeah.
So it's almost like, can you get 10 and then maybe the Premier League gives you one back?
Oh, I mean, you'd hope. And like the thing about, like, we keep talking about the deduction, but it's because it is a big deal, because if we didn't have it, we'd be 4 points clear and we'd be ahead in goal difference. And then, I mean, Luton would probably be starting to think about giving up. Like, realistically, like, they'd probably be like Burnley and Sheffield United, like, sort of letting go a little bit and submitting, drowning. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, this would probably be their last best stand. And if Forest were, if we're 4 points clear and Forest wins and they lose to City, now it's a 7-point difference, and it's like, that's, you know, you're basically like, that's kind of insurmountable. So this 4-point deduction is a big problem.
I'm hoping we get one back. I am, but like, we've got to just focus on our game and just try and get a result. Wolves this weekend, obviously we had a bit of a rivalry with them last year. You know, Morgan Gibbs-White went from them, and then the fingers in the ears. Yeah, exactly. And then we beat them in the cup to get to the semi-final. That was huge. I was watching that in some hotel with my brother. We stopped on the side of the road as we were driving to Cork, put it on a laptop and just watched the rest of it. He's an Arsenal fan, but he loved it anyway. It feels like that rivalry is sort of dwindled a little bit, because Wolves are now kind of mid-table obscurity and they're looking up the league a little bit. But Gary O'Neill's a good coach. I mean, he always has our number. Even with Bournemouth, when he was coaching them, he did. Like, this game is massive. And I think I honestly think it's a flip of a coin. It's 50-50. It's going to come down to the fans or Morgan Gibbs-White playing really well. Is there any changes you would make? Because the Fulham game and the Spurs game, I think he kept the same team. Danilo and Yates were playing in the middle. Yates looked a bit laggy in the Spurs game. Would you make any changes? Probably wouldn't to the front four, probably wouldn't to the back four, but would you make any changes in midfield?
I know I love Ryan Yates, and I know that Spurs was not his best performance by any stretch, but hometown kid.
Yeah.
Big game at home at City Ground. He always seems to dial it up a little bit more. You're going to need that kind of, you know, enforcer, mess everything up guy, piss everybody off guy. You're going to want that. You're going to want that energy. I love that. Like, to me, he is like,
he's like a hockey enforcer for you, right?
I was just going to say, he's like a ratty little pest that every championship team needs. Like the guy that we had here in Chicago when we were winning, this guy named Andrew Shaw, and he would just, you know, he'd give a wicked, you know, ref's not looking, give him a stick in the ribs. Guy turns around, punches him. He flops down. And then it's like, we're on power play. We score. And he just, you know, like he was just the perfect little instigator rat. And I love guys like that. I have a I was kind of a guy like that. Like I was kind of a rat. And I love Yates. Like I have one. I don't really buy jerseys for sports. It's just never been my thing. I did get a Forrest one. I actually got two this year, but gotcha. I got the alternate. And I got Yates on the back because he's just like, he's my guy. So I would understand if people wanted to go a different direction after the Spurs game. I'm not. So I think I'm leaving it totally unchanged. I think I'm going with the exact same 11 again. I would change. I don't know. It depends on how the game goes. But let's say we're down one late. I don't want to see Origi. I don't want to see Origi. I'd rather take Yates off and move Morgan back and then have Reyna in the 10. I will never understand the logic of having Origi, who's really like, he's had moments where he's been, I think the best thing you can say about him is that he's been fine. But he hasn't been like a difference maker, but he seemingly is always the first choice off the bench. To me, that has to be Reyna. And I'm not like an American, like I'm the biggest Reyna guy. Like I don't think he should be in United States first 11 necessarily, but he's got to be ahead of Origi, and he is capable of like those magical moments. And you know, we saw it in the last international break, you know, for the United States. Like he does have a special talent. And if you need some magic late, I know Origi had a magical goal in the Champions League 8 years ago or whatever it was.
Yeah, it's true.
Just like I trust Reyna to make something happen in those spots more than him. So that would be, I would change that for late game subs. If Elanga or Hudson-Odoi have to come off, I'd put Reyna on one of those wings before I'd have Origi in there. So, but that would probably be the only change that I would make. I know it's nervous having two 21-year-old center backs. I think they're the best two.
And
you just got to play the best two. You know, there's like that old axiom where it's like experience only matters if you're also like good. So I'd rather have, give me talent over experience any day. I think Omavaladele and certainly Murillo are the two best guys. So those guys got to play. Nico Williams is a stud. He's the first name on the sheet. And then I'm leaving Ana in too, but I like Toffolo a lot, but Aina's the guy.
Yeah, I agree. Aina's got the pace right now as well to cover. And I think Omavaladele, your point about the two centre backs is interesting. Like I'm Irish, right? Omavaladele's Irish, so I've always kind of kept an eye on him for a few years when he was at Norwich and stuff. So I've known he was quite good, but everyone's like, yeah, whatever, you're just saying that because he's Irish. And then when he came, I was like, oh, he's brilliant. And everyone's like, yeah, but you're just saying that because he's Irish. But I knew he had the potential. I think with Murillo, we forgot about the 21-year-old thing after a month. We just went, it doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter because he's going to be world-class. With Omavaladele, it took longer, but we eventually went, it doesn't matter. And you're right. The experience stuff actually doesn't matter because they've been the best pairing this year, I think. So I think we just got to run with them.
They're better athletes, you know, and it's just, you have to. I'm going with if the ship goes down, and you got to just go down with your best. And I think that those two guys are the best. And I love what Felipe did last year. He doesn't look the same this year.
No.
So if you're up two late or something like that, you want to go five at the back and bring Felipe in, fine. But outside of that, I think these are the guys you roll with.
100%. Right, so like we do this thing called a red hot take. Like I'll give you an example of a couple I have. My phone's around. You're not gonna like this one. Origi scores the goal. This is Paul. Origi scores the goal to secure our Premier League safety against Burnley in the last game of the season. So probably I would love never happen.
I'm not rooting against Origi.
Yeah.
If he scores a goal that keeps us up, I don't care who scores. Or put Nuno. If Nuno scores, I don't care. But if it's Origi, great. So I don't think it should be, but that's fine.
Yeah, another one is Edwin, mate of mine, said, this is my Carolina Reaper chili red hot take. Burnley v Forest on the last day of the season will be a straight shootout for who stays up. So he thinks, this was a week or two ago. He probably thought Burnley had more of a chance of staying
up. Playing a little bit better. Yeah.
Yeah. And Luton were drifting, so it could have been between them and us. So, yeah. Do you have a red hot take? Do you have anything off the top of your head?
Yeah, I'm going to go back to my guy, Ryan Yates. I got a little tingly when he had that nice attempt from outside the box against Spurs. you know, right. I think it was right before Woods missed, right? He had the shot. He will score a goal by the end of the year. It will be important. And I've said on Twitter and places before that if he scores a goal, I love that tradition where they like we're in the Trent. I'll jump in Lake Michigan in my Yates jersey if Yates scores. So Yates is going to get an important goal for Forrest, but before the end of the year, which would be his first Premier League goal, and I will be in the lake.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yeah.
Ryan's jumping into Lake Michigan if Ryan Yates scores an important goal. Which
the weather is turning a little bit, so it's not that big of a deal. So
I think you threw it out there in April.
Two months ago, I was going to do it too, but
oh Jesus,
it hasn't materialized yet. So I think, you know, give him a little bit more confidence, another chance. Like the next time he has a chance like that, he'll bury.
Nice. I hope so. I hope so, because there was a couple of chances in the Palace game where he didn't take them outside the box, and then in the Spurs game he did. And you know what? The thing is, it wasn't even like it was a decent effort, but it wasn't that great an effort. But it created such a great chance because keeper parried it and Wood nearly scored. So like, just take the shots from outside the box. Score prediction for the game. What do you think the score is going to be? Give me something, and give me the goal scorers as well.
I think we'll run back the Fulham score. We'll say 3-1.
Love it.
Obviously, Forest don't keep clean sheets, so they're going to get on the board too. But I think Morgan gets one. I think Wood gets one. And Elanga, I feel like, has been sniffing around it. And he just hasn't had that finish that he had, you know, before the new in 2024. Start of the year, he was burying everything, it felt like. I think he finds the back in this one.
Lovely. Lovely. So 3-1. Wood, Gibbs White, Elanga. I'm going to go with 2-1, 1-1, nervy, they have the momentum, looks like Wolves are going to take it, and then Gibbs White buries them late, fingers in the ears. That would be electric. Just the fingers in the ears buries them. That's what I'm going to go with. That's pretty much it. I think I'm going to roll out after this with a review corner, and Matt, my co-host, is going to send some little WhatsApp messages in and bounce off them, and then we'll do an outro. But other than that, thanks so much for coming on. You've been a savior this week for us, but like, I wish you all the best, because you're going to have an amazing time. You're going to get to really experience everything. You're in a high stakes game as well, Chief. Like, you're going to a game that is going to be absolutely electric. Like, I flew over from Canada once and went to a QPR game where we lost 1-0 at home, and I was devastated. My wife was like, what's wrong with you? Like, this is going to be fun no matter what, because you're going to have that feeling and get down to the Nav for a couple of drinks. There's a couple of people who want to see you. So, yeah. If you have any shout-outs or anything to anyone, go ahead. I mean, maybe you don't.
No, I mean, I feel thankful that, you know, we have such a good group here in Chicago with Forrest, Christian, and Kyle. Like, we have like a really Andrew Cove, who was just featured for us. Like, he's, I think he lives up in Wisconsin now, but he comes down to the bar for games. We just have like a really good group of Forrest guys in Chicago. And so, you know, I love getting to bet together with those guys. And you know, I was asking them for little tips, and everyone has a little something, you know, to add to the agenda. So I think it's going to be great. But yeah, other than that, and then, you know, Dan White, like the whole Forest kind of, you know, the Forest all over, we'll say, you know, North America and everywhere community is awesome. Like, the people have been great, and that's made the whole experience of being a fan that much better, because we don't, it's different than being a Blackhawks or a Bears fan. And maybe that's the case if you live in Nottingham too. But when you're just constantly surrounded by it, it's like, it feels a little bit more special when you have to go out of your way to have like a little taste of that, you know, kind of home environment. And you know, so I love that our guys, you know, meet down at, you know, it used to be the Globe, and now it's at Embassy in Chicago, that we have our spot and our crew, and it's a good time. So and it's the best club in the world. Like, I really believe that. Like, I'm watching these guys sweat over Champions League games in the office, and it's just like, yeah, but like, you were born on kind of third base, as we say, you know, like, yeah. it's an easy life. Like, you got to really want it. If you're a Forest fan, and that kind of, that adds to it too, because it's been a long suffering fan base, people suffering their whole lives basically, until recently. So where I kind of came in at the perfect time at the end of 21 and rode that whole wave in 22. So it was really, really great.
No, that's cool, man. And yeah, look, you're again, I've said this to you a million times before. You are a proper fan though. Like, you came in during the Houghton era. At any point in time, you could have jumped out the rocket ship and pulled the parachute because there was so many times of devastation over, even with the late 3-2 losses to Bournemouth and stuff like that. And you're like, why? And all your mates are supporting Arsenal and stuff during Champions League. So you could have pulled the parachute at any time, but you didn't. And
And I'm glad I never, like, because I've always wanted a team, right? And it's just like, you know, you're like, Leeds or Newcastle, and like nothing felt right. And this club, once I, like, you know, started, you know, you hear about the song, you know, you've lost that love and feeling, and you know, all like they have so many great little traditions. And Brian Clough, and you know, the he
The
would, you know,
history
I think
and
he is everybody's kind of coach, but like I love a guy that has like a personality with the media and funny stories. And so like for me, it's like it was, I wish I had found them earlier kind of thing. And even though those years weren't so great, but it felt great. And then it's been an incredible ride, and it's, you know, for us till I die now. Like I got a club, and I was talking to Greg Mitchell. I love Greg Mitchell.
Legend.
And he's out of town. It's a shame he's on vacation for this trip I'm taking. But I really want to make this like a yearly adventure, where find a good flight, find a good game, and you know, and it's like I said, this is a 48-hour trip, and that's more than okay with me.
It's massively impressive. Fair play to you. Because to do a 48-hour trip, I've done that once for a wedding when I was living in Canada, and I was like, Jesus, what am I doing?
Well, I did that
It's
for Wembley too. I did it kind
Oh, well, yeah.
of,
But Wembley's real special. I mean, they're all real special, but yeah, that's very cool as well. But yeah, listen, thanks a million for coming on. Appreciate it. And
Of
we'll
course,
get you
thanks
on
for
at
having
some
me.
stage. Yeah, of course. We'll get you on at some stage when Matt, my co-host, is on.
Yeah, it'd be great.
And yeah, you're
Let's do
just
a recap for America, a Yank in Nottingham for the first time. So.
Absolutely. You can come on again whenever you want, man. I absolutely love having you on. So this is proper Forest all over the world. So cheers. Huge thanks to Ryan, or Barstool Chief from Chicago there, who was joining us just before he flies over for the Wolves game this weekend. I'll do a quick score prediction from Matt now, and then we'll do a review corner, which Matt will also react to, and then we'll get out of here. So here's Matt's score prediction.
Score prediction for Wolves game. I think we're going to lose, and it's going to be doom and gloom, but we're still going to survive. But I do think we'll lose, and it'll be ridiculously tense for the following weeks. I think we're going to lose like 2-0. Sorry, everyone. I'm normally overly optimistic, not this time. But I do think we'll turn it around. I've just got this masochistic vibes flowing around my blood this week.
Well, I'm glad we waited around for that. Luckily, Matt hasn't got any of his score predictions right this year, so don't worry about it, anyone. Anyway, welcome to the review corner. Paul Baker says, "Great episode, guys. Next time, just pay Matt per minute he speaks to encourage more interruptions, because there's not enough of that."
Sorry, was
Legend.
that someone asking for more interruptions? Surely not. Maybe I just misunderstood that one. So that's someone who wants more interruptions and for me to be paid more by you for it. I mean, I'm up for that, but maybe I misunderstood it. Maybe they want you to pay me to not interrupt you more. That might make more sense. Yeah, I'll take the money either way. It's probably going to be difficult not to interrupt you though, as most of your other people that have met you understand. It's pretty difficult to get a word in edgeways.
Tom Oxford, kind of get why Matt wants to listen to Luton podcasts, and I'm tempted to listen to them myself.
Thank you, Tom. Fellow sucker for danger and extreme feelings and difference, I guess. Yeah, the Luton podcast. I mean, I haven't been able to stomach it seeing that after their Bournemouth win, if I'm honest. I skimmed over it, that recent Luton podcast, and was like, oh, I don't know if I've got the bottle or the nerve. I might give it a listen once we've beaten Wolves and they've lost this to City. But yeah, I blooming think that City are going to draw to them or something stupid like that.
Elliot says, "I agree with Matt that we had to look for a win against Spurs. As you know, I hate the term winnable game. All games are winnable," agree completely. I'm sure Matt probably does as well.
Yeah, sounds like a man after my own heart or my own tongue. That's not too weird a thing to say. Yeah, games should be winnable. It's football. It's just psychology, isn't it? Yes, there are elite players, but they're such fine margins that we've gone about. It's about the attitude of our players this year and whoever's to get their attitude up. They just don't seem to go for it when we're chips are down. It's really getting annoying and boring. they have to turn it around for this fan base that they so constantly go on about asking us to be there like we're not ever there. One minute they're saying, oh, Forest fan base, one of the best in the league, never let these guys down, but then like, please stay there with us. Like, don't worry, we'll be there if we're in League One. You guys won't be. Do what you're being paid to do, and at least make it look like you're trying. Or at least come out and communicate that we're all wrong when we think you're giving lacklustre performances when the chips are down. Someone come out and go, no, you guys don't know how to do our job like we do. As I would do if it was someone criticising my work. I'd either take it on the chin and go, you know what, yeah, I've slacked off there and I've been lazy, or I've dodged it, or I've used technique to hide it from lesser qualified eyes. But I'm also often go, no, you think that I'm doing something easy or simple, as we all do, but you give an explanation. Or maybe they're just paid too much, they're not as defensive as me.
Follow us at NFFC All Over on Twitter, or at Forest All Over on Instagram. Alternatively, you can go to forestallover.com. This is the Forest All Over the World podcast, or the Forest All Over podcast, or both. We'll see you after the weekend, when hopefully we celebrate a wonderful victory. And if we don't, we'll see you anyway.